Have you ever wondered what it takes to be a real leader, to inspire and motivate others to take action and own the day? Well, today I had an incredible conversation with a man who just so happens to know a thing or two about leadership. I got to speak with Mr. David Hoyt, who's the president of the John Maxwell Company. And when it comes to leadership, these two know what they're talking about. Now, if you live under a rock and you've never heard of John Maxwell before, he is the number one leadership expert in the world and has sold tens of millions of books. And David has been riding shotgun for the last 19 years and is the current president of the John Maxwell Company. We spoke about what makes a great leader and how that isn't accomplished overnight, but through daily improvements. I had an absolute blast, and David is such an authentic and down-to-earth person that it's easy to see why so many people look to him as a leader. So strap in and enjoy the ride. We talked about all things leadership, David's brand new life plan process, and even a sidetrack into the college football arena for a little while. I learned a ton, and I know you will too. So strap in, get ready, because here we go. I am very excited today. We have Mr. David Hoyt joining us. He is a strategic advisor, a communicator, a leader, and a guide. He has had the privilege of riding shotgun with John Maxwell for the last 19 years and runs a significant portion of John's business. Most recently, he has actually served as the president of John Maxwell Company. And today, David works with individuals and organizations, helping them improve their performance and reach their goals. He's got an incredible program called the Life Plan Process, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. He does executive coaching for leaders to make sure that they are at their very peak performance. And he serves as a strategic advisor and gives development initiatives to small and medium-sized companies. He lives in Atlanta, so he's not too far away from us here in Raleigh, and with his beautiful wife and two teenage children. So I thank you for taking the time to be with us here today, David, and how are you?
I'm doing awesome, Brandon. It's great to be with you as well.
Thank you very much. So I have to jump in, first of all, and ask, what is it like, and how did you get into working with John Maxwell?
So it's been an unbelievable ride. I mean, 19 years, would have never dreamed the opportunities that I've been given along the way. So I won't give you the long version, but for me, it goes back to college. I went to Liberty University, Lynchburg, Virginia, and I heard John speak there for the first time. Never heard of him before. Spoke and thought he was the best communicator I had ever heard. And I actually went back to my dorm room, called my dad, and said, "Dad, have you ever heard of this guy by the name of John Maxwell?" Had not. And I said, "Well, you got to find out about him. He's got some books." Back then, this, you're going to laugh. Said he has tapes. Remember what tapes
were? Oh, yeah.
And so my dad did. And what was really cool was over the next two or three years, John became a long-distance mentor to him through books, through tapes, through events. And it made a huge impact on my dad's life. Fast forward, I graduate from school. Really trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. Was inside sales for a couple of years, did pretty well at that, but I knew that wasn't my calling in terms of what I was doing there. And I went to an event with John, full-day conference, 2,500 people, sat there and thought, I would love to be this part of this kind of an organization. I don't need to be the sage on the stage, but I want to be part of an organization like this that adds value to people and makes a difference. And I believe it's a God story, it's how it all worked out. But got to meet the guy who was emceeing the event. We hit it off. He was up in my neck of the woods for dinner, and one like another, and a job offer. And that was 19 and a half years ago now.
Wow.
And truly an incredible ride. So very, very grateful.
That's incredible. Now, for some of our audience that may be living under a rock, what exactly does the John Maxwell Company do?
Sure. So I'll give a little bit on John. You know, John's a leadership author and speaker by many publications, has been ranked for a number of years now the number one leadership guru in the world. Has written, it's hard to believe this, but he's written over 100 books.
Wow.
Writes every day, got a great process for doing it. And they've sold over, I think now the number's 26 million copies. So that's John. And the organization, the John Maxwell Company, is kind of the machine behind all of that. So everything from live events to resources to training programs. There's an organization called the John Maxwell Team, which does certification for independent speakers, coaches, and trainers. And then John has a couple nonprofit organizations as well, but works with leaders all over the world and really makes a tremendous impact.
So you two have been extremely busy over there.
Have been around the world many times with John. And for me, one of the things that's energized me is I love diversity. So, you know, we have programs for individuals interested in their personal growth, for leaders interested in their personal leadership development. But then I've also not, besides working just with individuals, I've gotten to work with organizations of all sizes. So the diversity of who I've gotten to work with in the many years with John and the John Maxwell Company is just, it's been fantastic. Diverse. And here's the common denominator. It's people who care about growth. I'm a growth guy. One of my values is growth personally, as well as the love of seeing growth organizationally. And what we do has naturally allowed me to work with other folks that are passionate about growth.
Fantastic. And that's one of the things, you know, I was looking up on John's site as well as yours, and the growth to a leader. You know, you don't become a leader overnight. It has to be a path. And so if you could explain or go into detail on how that path really has to evolve and how you just can't make a jump to being a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things. I'll share a couple things that John teaches and I believe. First is, what is leadership? Leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. A lot of people want to attach leadership to positions. And of course, there are leadership positions, but everybody is a leader. Whoever we influence, we are leading them. And so it's not that I'm a leader, I'm not. We're all leaders. We have a leadership position, leadership title. So I'm going to start there. And John's, the book that sold the most for all of them is called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And in that book, there's law number three, the law of process, which teaches leaders develop daily, not in a day. And the idea there, which fully subscribe to, is you don't read one book, you don't go to one event, and you are a leader, or you reach your leadership capacity. Rather, it's every day. What am I doing to pour into myself, to further develop myself, make me a better leader, make me better in whatever area I'm looking to grow? So I believe that's true. Leadership, meaning like it's a daily process. But it's not just leadership. It's any area that we want to go in. It's not a one-time event. It's what are we doing daily to pour into ourselves to grow in that area. And so to me, how do you develop as a leader? It's a daily process. It's, you know, what am I reading? What am I listening to? Who am I having conversations with? Who is mentoring me? Who's pouring into me? And when we do those things long enough, all of a sudden we wake up one day and we see the growth. And we realize, well, I used to believe these things back here. I was limited in my influence. And now today I've grown that influence and can much more effectively impact people.
I really like what you say about influence and the fact that a lot of people, you know, I think it's a misnomer that they correlate leadership with power. And it's not necessarily power, it's just influence to, you know, be that person that people look up to, that you can give them that guidance.
Absolutely. You know, there is a correlation, but with power, how I perceive that is almost dominance. It's a top-down approach. I'm reading a book right now by Robert Greenleaf. It's kind of the quintessential book on servant leadership. I believe that the best leaders, that's where they derive their influence. It's, you know, people who use power as their lead. Yes, they have... they have power, they have a degree of influence, but they only have their influence as long as they have the power, which is usually attached to a position. You strip them of that power base or that position, nobody wants to follow. A great leader, though, it doesn't matter if they have a position or not. People are attracted to who they are and how they serve, and they'll follow them with or without a title. One of the things that John has talked about for a long time, and I believe in, is if you really want to see somebody's true leadership ability, take them out of a position, put them in a volunteer position. You know, have them go work at a nonprofit organization just as a volunteer, and then see, can they lead? Do they have influence with those that they're working with, or were they simply depending on the position and the title? That's that's not true leadership, that's not true influence, that's just positional power. True leaders, great leaders, can lead regardless of position, title, or power.
Now, building on that, in your opinion, what really makes a great leader?
Yeah, so for me, a couple different things. First is, I believe they walk the talk. You know, anybody can say whatever they want. Anybody can have great leadership cliches. But are they living out their leadership? Are they doing the things daily that they are trying to inspire or get others to do? So does the walk match the talk? And that ties to authenticity. You know, for me, one of my values, another one of my values is authenticity. Are you the real deal? Are you willing to be transparent? I think humility is big. It's not, hey, I have all the answers. I got it figured out. I'm larger than charge. It's being humble enough to admit weaknesses, humble enough to admit defeats when they happen, to be in touch with our story, both the ups and the downs. You know, for me, the leader I want to follow, I want to know their wounds. I want to know where they've been nicked up. I want to know where they've fallen. Because the person who hasn't fallen, who has not been through some kind of tragedy or difficulty, I'm skeptical of their ability to lead, especially in difficult times. So to me, authenticity and transparency come there. And the other thing is vision. You know, I mean, hey, we need a leader because we're trying to make some kind of a change. We're trying to accomplish something. So there better be vision of a place we're going, or that's not true leadership.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of leadership, in, say, a corporate experience, so if someone is not a leader, they're, you know, middle management or simply an employee, what are some ways that, you know, they can break the ice and speak, manage up, or communicate effectively to the leaders that they're looking up to?
Yeah, you know, for me, so much of it is just being honest. One of my pet peeves is lack of honesty in any environment, but especially the workforce. I find everybody's trying to kind of protect themselves and kind of the political games of, you know, I'll say something around the water cooler, but I won't tell my boss how I really feel because I'm trying to protect my job. There's a way to do it, of course. There's a time to do it. But just be honest, regardless of the level that you're speaking to, but with your boss and leader, give honest feedback. Now, when do you have credibility to really be able to be honest with them? It's number one when you're doing your job. So what are you paid to do? Do it with excellence and do it well. Go above and beyond. I'm a huge fan of Chick-fil-A, raving fan of their culture, their product called Second Mile Service. And it's, you know, hey, anybody can go to first mile. Are you going to go the second mile? John talks about exceeding expectations. Are you doing more than required? Are you exceeding expectations? That will give you the influence and the credibility to have honest, frank conversations with your boss, your leaders, of what you think, what you feel, perceptions within the organization. And then one final thing, do it in private, you know, in big meetings. If it's critical, kind of tough feedback, don't do it there. But get one-on-one, closed door, let them know that you're for them. And here's my honest feedback. Here's what I think you need to know. And when we walk out the doors, though, I'll be unified with you. I won't be talking about this with others. I've got your back. And I think, you know, as a leader myself and having a lot of folks that have been privileged to lead over the years, when I sense that in a person, I know they're for me, they're for the organization, man, I listen with ears wide open.
Absolutely. Now, on the flip side, for those that are leaders, how can they, you know, use their influence and their leadership to more effectively inspire employees or get them, you know, to build into that culture and to buy into what they stand for?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One is just time. You know, as leaders, we can get real busy. We can get behind a lot of closed doors. But getting out and literally just spending time with your people and not always in meetings and real formal. You know, I mean, you read a lot of things you hear about management by walking around. I believe in that. Like, stop in on people and not just ask about how work's going. Ask about them personally and care, you know. Know about their family. Know about their hobby. Know about their passions. You know, people are people first. And care about them as people. And you care about them as people, they naturally want to follow you. So I think just being available is a really big part of leading down. From a tool standpoint, way to get great feedback is 360-degree assessments. One of the things that I've practiced for a number of years is every year I have a 360 assessment done on me. So whoever my boss is, getting feedback from them, from my peers and those on my team, it's anonymous. I would use that as my guide for, hey, here's where I need to continue to develop as a leader, hire a coach, have them coach me in those areas. So as I advise leaders, one of my first recommendations always is have a systematic way to get anonymous, unbiased feedback from your people. And I think the best way to do that is a 360-degree survey of some sort.
Fantastic. I really appreciate it's a breath of fresh air with, to hear the honesty, the authenticity, to remember the small things. And I feel like such a large part of why so many corporations are in trouble is because they're forgetting those little things and that honesty. They get wrapped up in the power struggle and forget, like you said, that it's people first that are working for you.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Now, I checked out your website, and I was looking into your life plan design that you've ventured into, and I'd like if you could tell me a little bit more about that and how you,
sure.
You know, that discovery process.
Yeah. So, with my journey, I'm 43 years old, and about 18 months ago, as I was doing year-end reflection, I really went back to some kind of purpose-type questions. And it took me on a journey of self-discovery, of really figuring out what I wanted to do in my second half. And in that process, I'd had a life plan going back to 01 and something kind of I designed on my own. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. Because at the time, way back in 01, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit it, but when I went through that process on my own, I realized I had two sets of goals. I had career goals and I had financial goals. And everything else, quite frankly, was really a backseat priority. It was where I could squeeze it in the margins. And when I went through that process, I realized I want to be defined by much more than my career and financial accomplishments. And I identified 10 domains in life that were important to me and I wanted to live intentionally in. And when I defined those things and then I created plans around them, by no means done it perfectly, but I can look back and say I feel like I've lived intentionally in each one of those areas over the past 16 years. Well, hitting kind of halftime and doing some just personal evaluation, I really felt like there was something unique and different that I was supposed to be doing in my second half. And I didn't kind of trust myself to revisit just my life plan on my own. I knew I needed a guide. And I've been very familiar with many years, the Patterson process, and went through this process myself. It gave me the clarity I was looking for. And for me, I realized a core part of what I want to do is help other people discover their purpose and then live lives of purpose, courage, and intentionality. And so what the life plan process is that it's a two-day deep dive into a person's life, into your life. First, we get perspective on life. We circle it kind of from 360 degrees. We look back and see a person's story and what's called their turning points, the things that have shaped them and cause them to move in different directions in life. And when we get perspective on first our story, then our core talents, our heart, our core values, that leads us to be able to discover our purpose. And out of our purpose, we have a vision for how we want to live. There's strategies attached to that. And then we get down to now the true plan is initiatives. What are the things that I need to go do today or tomorrow based on the life I want to live? And so I love getting in somebody's life with them, looking at their story, and then helping them discover their purpose and create a plan to live intentionally for the next season of their life. So what life plan's all about.
I think that's absolutely exceptional. And it's really powerful to have that outside view because, like you said, you can make your own plan, but unless you have someone, you know, like you said, there are steps along the way and finding those turning points. And so to have that guidance and say, okay, this is what we need to dive into next is really, really powerful. I'm not sure, it's a little bit off the cuff here. So what is one of your favorite success stories or one of those kind of moments that make you say, wow, in what you've done with your process here?
Yeah. So You know, for me, and I'll give you one that I see that's common, and then I'll give you a specific one is, if you'd like as well. Almost everybody comes with a process with a vocational question they're trying to answer. Just had the privilege of taking somebody through it who has been with EY, Ernst & Young, their entire career, been very successful, and right on the brink of becoming a partner or going through that process. And the question he was trying to answer was, am I supposed to do that? Huge commitment, which you do, but typically that's the kind of the big career move. Or am I supposed to take the last 13 years of experience and go do something completely different? So that's why he came to me. I mean, that was the pressing question. But with him and so many others, the good news is we got clarity for him there. And for him, the clarity was, I'm supposed to do that. But here's the breakthrough. Was the epiphany of, man, the other domains of my life, my personal life, my physical, my intellectual, my emotional, my spiritual, that's been a second-tier priority. It can't be a second-tier priority anymore. My family, you know, I've squeezed them into the cracks of life. They haven't been the priority. And saying, all right, what's my intentional plan to pour into, invest my family? What are my core family values going to be, and how are we going to live those out? To even both community involvement and involvement in church. So what excites me is I want to help people have vocational breakthrough. That's what took me the life plan process myself, was a vocational question. But where I come alive is when we see breakthrough in the other areas, and then we're able to integrate that, where it's not just about our vocation or one domain, but living a holistic life where we're in every area, personally, professionally, our family, our church, our community involvement, are all integrated, and we're living in those areas intentionally and with purpose.
That's wonderful. You know, I think that's something that's really important as people get wrapped up and they only think, like you said, career or financial, those are the two goals. And to realize that life is this full circle, and it's something that, you know, I think a lot of people are missing. So I really think that you're definitely on to something. Are there plans for expansion with your life plan design?
Well, you know, one is to do more, to work with more individuals. For me, and you know, we all have specialties. Like, my niche is typically men 35 to 50 that hit a halftime experience, similar to me. So on the personal side, that for me is kind of the sweet spot. And then I do coaching on the backside for those that say, boy, I need help activating this. I need accountability doing it. And then on the organizational side, really ramping up some things there as well. Around both strategy and leadership. And I love diversity. So, you know, I'm so passionate about life plan and plan to be doing 2 to 3 of those a month. But I know I can't do just one thing. It's not how I'm wired. So to work both with individuals and help them discover purpose and get into that, and then organizations create great leadership cultures. When I can combine those things, I truly feel like in my sweet spot. So continuing to look to grow both sides of the business.
Fantastic. And I really think it ties in nicely to what you were saying earlier about being a leader, because if someone goes through this process and they realize all these different aspects and take the strides of growth, they will more naturally become a leader in their own life, not necessarily by anyone else's standards. So you're kind of tying in that 20 years of experience with helping people figure out how to be a leader in their own life, which is really something special.
Brandon, I'm so glad you said that, because truly, and it goes back to the leadership conversation on the front side of our conversation, is, man, the most important person we're ever going to lead is ourselves. And to be an effective leader of others, we got to first lead ourselves well. And so going back to somebody who says, I want to be a leader, I want to develop my ability to lead, my advice would be, don't first focus on the tips and techniques of leading others. Focus on leading yourself well first, and out of that, naturally, you will develop the ability to influence others. But it truly starts with self-leadership, and leading ourselves is typically the hardest, because, man, we fall, we have weaknesses, but we better start at home first.
Absolutely. Now, for people on this leadership journey, what are some of your favorite books that you would recommend that, you know, they can start tapping into this knowledge base?
If it's okay, I'll give you a few. I'm a book guy, man. So, you know, when you ask the book question, it's hard to limit it to one. If you don't mind, I'll give you a couple of different ones.
Absolutely.
And some different I'll give you a couple books that have helped me on my spiritual journey. The top two for me is a book called Soul Keeping by John Ortberg. And a second one is called What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey. In fact, that book, What's So Amazing About Grace, my daughter, my eldest, her name is Grace, and it came out of the impact that book had on me. I believe identity is a huge part of our journey. We've got to know who we are at our core. Two books around that have really shaped me is True Measure of a Man by a gentleman by the name of, don't laugh, Richard E. Simmons. Not the Richard Simmons you just envision in spandex. It's not him. Richard E. Simmons, True Measure of a Man. And then another book called Scary Close by Donald Miller. And then I'll give you a couple of leadership books from John. He's got so many great ones. I mean, it's hard to kind of boil it down. But if I was going to give you only one leadership book to read from John, it would be The Five Levels of Leadership. But I'm going to give you two other categories to read by John. So leadership, five levels. In terms of this idea of intentional living, he's written a book called Intentional Living. And then just a growth book that's exceptional is The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And I'll give you one final leadership book recommendation outside the Maxwell camp. And that is called Next Generation Leader by Andy Stanley. So those are a few of my favorites, but I could go on and on and on because I love growth and I love books.
I can definitely agree with you there. I am a bookworm myself. Ever since I bought a Kindle years and years ago, it has just been exploding with the number of books. Now, a couple questions about you, a little more personal. So if someone wants to find out more about what you do and life plan process, how can they really get in touch or find out more?
Yeah, probably best place to visit my website, and it's davidshoyt.com. David, the initial S, Hoyt, Hoyt.com. And got all my contact information there, overview of services, all that good stuff.
Fantastic. Now, I did do a little bit of research and saw that you are a Michigan State fan, so I do have to razz you a little bit, as I'm a Buckeye, born and raised.
Look at that. We need to go to a game is what we need to do. So, I know we're going off topic, but man, you hear me talking football, I'm coming alive here again. Do you go to any games?
I haven't. So, I haven't been to a game in probably 3 years, but my wife, Samantha, is Canadian, and I've talked about Ohio State games and 100,000 people, and she still can't wrap her head around that experience. So all I have to pick is a date, and I know that she's 100% down for it.
You guys need to do it this fall. So my son and I, he's 13 now, we do a couple annual, we call them man trips. And we live in Atlanta now. We fly up to Michigan. A part we recently added is I go see my old high school football team, who my buddy coaches them, and they won the state champion in Michigan in 2015. And then on Saturday, we go to Michigan State game. So this year, it's Michigan State, Notre Dame. And then on Sunday, we're a big Lions fan, which you, when you consider Detroit Lions fan, you know you're a true fan.
Oh, yeah.
You go to a Lions game. Being from Atlanta, it all works out this year where the Falcons are in Detroit. So I know we weren't supposed to talk football on this call, but you get me talking football, look out.
Fantastic. So another question for you, a little on a personal note. So who is an inspiration to you?
It broke up just a little bit. Oh. Did you say who's an inspiration to me?
I did.
Yeah, so, you know, John, obviously, but I'll give you a couple other men in my life who have really been incredible mentors. And one of the things where I feel blessed, and this is just a little encouragement to everybody, is, man, go out and find great mentors. Like, one of my greatest blessings are the mentors in my life. And I've, over the last 20 years, been exposed to some incredible men that I look at who they are, and I'm like, man, when I get there, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, I hope my character, I hope my influence, I hope who I am at my core is in the ballpark of the kind of men they are. But two in particular, one is a gentleman, and it was funny, I actually was with them both this week. One is a gentleman by the name of Glenn Jackson, Glenn runs the most influential marketing agency in Atlanta. Works with all the big Atlanta firms, Chick-fil-A, Coke, Delta, if you name it. But man, you talk about a humble leader. You talk about a guy who cares about his people. You know, one of his things is give to get. Meaning, man, he just gives and gives and gives and gives. And it's kind of the Zig principle. You know, how enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. You know, Glenn calls it give to get. He's taught me a lot about this idea of preeminence, which is being world class and expectations. Been a wonderful friend and mentor. And then another gentleman is Reggie Campbell. Reggie's passion is mentoring. He has an organization called the Radical Mentoring Group. I was part of his second group. This was way back in, I think the year was 01. And he has led groups himself every year since 2000. Started his whole organization, developed mentor networks, been a mentor myself of his, and he continues to be a mentor to this day. So many more, but those are two of the guys that most inspired me. I've walked a long journey and still was still with them a couple times this week. So always get inspired when I can get around.
Fantastic. So if you could have a conversation with anyone, past, present, or future, who would it be?
Wow. Boy, that is a good question right there. So I'll give you a present one, and the Michigan State connection may not shock you. Tom Izzo, the head basketball coach for the men's team, I've just admired for such a long time. If I can be one person living today, it'd probably be Tom. I just admire his fire, his passion, his love for his players. Going back in time, I was named after King David, so I've always been fascinated from him from the Bible. And then also, I love the Apostle Peter. I love his fire, his grit, his passion. He's a guy who made some pretty major failures, but didn't let failure keep him down. And so he would be another one going way, way back that I'd love to meet and really get to know.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, last question, so leaving it up to you a little bit. Is there anything that you wish that I had asked or anything else that you'd like to touch on?
And you've done a great job. So, you know, there's nothing that really jumps out. Here would be my encouragement to folks. I believe in us. We all have a unique purpose and calling. I think the majority of folks, unfortunately, use white noise, all kinds of distractions to just mask that. It's kind of scary to think, what am I uniquely called to do? And so most people never really do a deep dive into that process. They just live to Friday, live to the weekend. It's busyness, and it can be all kinds of, quote, good things that are really distractions from what am I called to do? My challenge is investigate. Really begin to go inside yourself. Really begin to ask yourself questions about what am I on this planet to do? And I believe when we go beyond this awakening or awareness and we really move into searching and discovering our unique purpose, I believe we'll find it. And so, man, get rid of the white noise and really begin to ask the question, why am I here? And it'll be scary to step into purpose and calling. It always comes with some fear. It comes with some risk. But I believe when we begin walking in that direction of whatever we're called to do, all of a sudden doors of opportunity begin to open. I just think way too few people take the risk and begin to go for what they were uniquely designed and created to do or to be. And I'm passionate in helping people discover that and create a pathway to achieve those things.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We have uncovered all different bits of wisdom here. I'm going to make sure to put links for your website. I'll put links for the books you recommended and whatnot all in the description so everyone can see them. But I really, truly appreciate your time. This has been absolutely wonderful, wonderful, and I'm sure that our viewers are going to absolutely love it. So I really thank you for being here and taking the time to speak with me today, David.
Well, you're welcome, Brandon. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. What'd you think? Let us know your favorite thing that you learned in the comments below. I'll make sure to add all the links to David's site, the life plan process, as well as all the links to the wonderful books that he recommended. I hope that you learned lots. I know that I certainly did. And I feel inspired to constantly improve and live with Live a life of authenticity and honesty to inspire true leadership in others. Now, if you like what we're putting down, go ahead and click subscribe right down there in the corner. Every Wednesday, we're going to be releasing brand new interviews with the world's foremost experts in leadership, communication, body language, career coaching, and much more. And I promise that you won't want to miss it. And as always, you can see more about what we do at www.lifessecretsauce.com. So until next time, ciao for now.